Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard, with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're entering into the final chapter of 2 Samuel. So today is the first part of 2 Samuel chapter 24, and tomorrow will actually be the last chapter, the last part of this chapter, the last lesson in 2 Samuel. And today we begin by seeing that David's got a problem. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 24, verses 1 through 10. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go, number Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, "Go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and number the people, that I may know the number of the people." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?" But the king's words prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer, and from the city that is in the middle of the valley, toward Gad and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to Kadesh in the land of the Hittites. And they came to Dan, and from Dan they went on to around to Sidon, and came to the fortress of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and then went out to the Negeb of Judah at Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to the king. In Israel there were 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people, and David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Okay, now right away here, we need to look closely at verse 1. I'm going to read it again because we need to break this down. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go number Israel and Judah." Okay, if we look at this closely, we kind of go, wait a second. God told David to go and number the people. Why did God get mad at David then? So we need more information, and the best place for that is the parallel passage about this in 1 Chronicles 21. Here's what that says. Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So remember how we've talked about how word order is different in Hebrew than it is in English? That's what's happening here too. This sentence, it would be more accurately for our English word order read as, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel." So we see that God was already angry with the people of Israel, and then Satan tempted David and incited him to make this census. The census was brought about because David didn't listen to God, but was tempted to count the people and gave in to that temptation. The census, by the way, is most likely placed actually around the time that David's forces destroyed Absalom's rebellion and that David is reestablishing control of the throne. It probably wasn't as close to the end of his life as it seems by its placement in the book of 2 Samuel. So David goes to number not all the people, but the men who could bear arms. David is motivated here by the desire to see how strong his army is, but he's forgetting whose army it really is. David does this not because he had an urgent need to know, but out of curiosity and pride. And Joab replies in a more subdued manner than he has to David in the past. We know that Joab isn't afraid to speak his mind. We also know that often Joab's mind is opposed to God's will. But here Joab speaks respectfully, even suggesting a blessing on David that God might increase David's fighting men 100 times their current size, and that David might live to see it. David is an older man at this point. It makes no sense to do this census, especially at this point. It's not going to increase the number of people that David has fighting for him. And the truth was, all of the men that David had fighting for him were all his servants. They were ready to obey him whenever he called upon them, whether they were numbered or not. Also, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we get the idea that this was an expensive undertaking that will be a source of aggravation for Israel. But David persists against the advice of Joab and the other captains. David was doing this to bring glory to himself, and it clearly showed David's confidence in men rather than God. Doesn't that sound familiar? Like perhaps a group of people who decided that they needed a human king to place their confidence in instead of the creator of the universe. But this is so interesting to me because David was always approachable. He was always one that you could go to, point out his sin, and he would listen. Yet here we see that the one time he should have listened to what Joab said, he ignores him completely. Now, there were numerous times when he should have ignored Joab, but this was not one of them. David persists, so the captains obey. They obey David instead of God. They go all throughout the land to where the fighting men are, and they count them. It took almost a year to do this, wasting resources and manpower to do this silly task. Joab makes the final total after finding the numbers out from the captains. There were 800,000 men in Israel who, although many might be as young as 16, were able to draw a sword to fight. This was another problem for David, though, because in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 23, we see that there was a prohibition against counting any of those who were under the age of 20. And here we see that there were 500,000 men in Judah. In the account in 1 Chronicles, we're told that there were only 470,000 men in Judah, and that Joab didn't finish the census and didn't add the men of Benjamin and Levi into the census because Joab disagreed with the census. So from the accounting in 1 Chronicles, the 30,000 missing men were most likely from the tribe of Benjamin and Levi, and they were likely added into the total here in the account in 2 Samuel. Keep in mind, these people didn't have phones or cars or electronic media of any kind at this point. The census isn't done in a matter of days or weeks. It takes 9 months to get this thing done. And then, after all this time of refusing to listen to his conscience, David is stricken with guilt. Now that the thing has been done, he repents of it, seeing the pride that was evident in his actions. David comes before God, admitting and taking responsibility and repenting for his sin. David asks for pardon for his sin, which, as all sin is, was foolish vanity. We'll see tomorrow what God's response to David's request is. So, you might ask, what was David's sin here? Well, in that time, a man had the right to count or number only what belonged to him. And Israel didn't belong to David. Israel belonged to God. It was up to God to command a census, and there were times in Israel's history when God did indeed command a census. But that was God's right to do, and there were specific reasons for it when he did it. Oh, pride is such a sneaky sin to deal with. Pride in and of itself is not a bad thing. When we recognize that the things that we are taking pride in are from God, and we give him the glory. God wants us to boast in him. He gave us each unique talents and abilities, and he wants us to use them. However, when we use them, we aren't to get puffed up in ourselves, but we're to thank him for what he has given us and to give him the glory for those talents and abilities that we have. I'm here to tell you that you may not see where pride is grabbing hold of you. When we do anything out of a desire for a pat on the back or to show how holy and amazing we are, pride is in there, ladies. Even if the thing that you did was a good thing, if the heart motive behind it was for your glory, then the thing that you did doesn't glorify God. It's prideful. I can't warn you enough to check your motives and make sure that you're doing everything for his glory. So today, as you consider David, ask yourself this. Is there something in your life, something that you have done, even something that may not be sinful in itself, but your own heart motive was for your own glory, not for God's? We do it all the time. And truly, it may be showing you an idol in your life. Anything can be an idol when we look to it instead of God. We can even make idols out of the abilities and gifts that God has given us and use those to get a pat on the back for ourselves instead of using those gifts for his glory. Without a desire for notoriety or fame, but with a desire just to please God. If there's something in your life that has your pride captured in that way, bring that before God and repent of it today. Get into right relationship with him again and ask him to help you to keep your focus off of your own glory and on his every day.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.